Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Agrotech Foods Limited, hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi, I welcome you all to Q1 FY23 results conference call of Agrotech Foods Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. K.P.N. Srinivas, CFO of the company. We will start the call with opening remarks from the management, and then we can start with the Q&A session. Now I will request Mr. Sachin Gopal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ajay, and thank you, Michelle. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We'll try and walk you through the results of Q1. I'm sure you already have opened the presentation that we've uploaded on the website. If you could just refer to that, right? The first slide is ATFL results update for quarter one. We'll move to the second slide. What is the company's strategic vision? That is to become the best performing, most respected foods company in India, and we are 100% on track as far as this vision is concerned, and we'll share with you why. Okay, quarter one key performance highlights. Steady foods growth with a very high input cost inflation. Obviously from a cost and input cost inflation standpoint, it was a bit like, you know, the quarter one has been a bit like standing on a beach and you have a tidal wave which is coming in and you're struggling to stand upright, right? But those waves have started washing away now, and we had to take the right calls in the quarter to ensure that our growth plans, as we mentioned to you in last quarter's presentation, our growth projections do not get derailed by the temporary spike in inflation that we saw particularly in Q1, right? Some of it is there, but overall I would say it's a lot lower today than what it was. The second piece of relevance to the business was the fact that in the last year, in quarter one of prior year, there was obviously a large amount of people who were sheltering in place in homes, and that certainly had given an elevated consumption for ready-to-cook, particularly popcorn, which is a dominant part of that category, and that is in our base. We are a more normal economy today, and it's difficult to say obviously what is the how do you define normalcy. Let's assume that we are today at about 80-85% normalization as far as, you know, people coming back to office and going out and leading a normal life. Quarter one last year would probably have been in the 15%-20% range, maybe 25% range. The delta between of normalcy was very high in quarter one. Going forward, our expectation is this delta of normalcy is going to reduce as we go by. Things of course will become even more normal in the current year on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Last year would have seen a significant spike in normalcy post the second wave. That has an impact. The ready-to-cook business accounts for about two-thirds of our sales. That's why if you go to our investor highlights page, you can see that, you know, 33% of the business grew by about 40%, so that's about 1,300 basis points in growth. Then the two-thirds of the business declined by about 4%, so that's about 200 basis points of growth. Net-net, the business grew by about 11. Which given the nature of magnitude of the second wave, means that we are in good shape. We've always said that, you know, we need to grow our food business by about 20%-25%, and this clearly indicates that we are on track to be able to deliver that. In terms of gross margin, our quarter four's gross margin was lower by 3 crores. The breakup of this is really there was input cost inflation of about 4 crores. The dominant part of that is palm oil, which fortunately has corrected significantly post quarter one. Also there was some volume impact in terms of softness in RTC popcorn that gave us a negative swing of about 2 crores. That was offset by pricing. We took pricing across all categories, barring peanut butter, where we had dropped our price last year, which is showing excellent results now, and volume growth in the non-RTC popcorn part of the business, right? That kind of breaks up the gross margin on the food side. I would say going forward, the input cost inflation is already moderated now, already in our books even for July. And we would expect the delta of RTC popcorn to improve. How much? That is very difficult for us to call, because there is no real hard data available for that. And we would continue to see pricing and volume growth in non-RTC popcorn. However, probably it will come more in chocolates as compared to RTE snacks, which is the dominant driver as far as quarter one is concerned. In terms of edible oils, the gross margin came out a little over 15 crores. We've always told you that we think, 70 crore plus minus is a kind of achievable range. And so I would say this came out okay given the huge spike that we saw in sunflower prices. Edible oil prices have still to moderate, right? I mean, they've come down a little bit, but not that much. So I think we would expect that going forward, we need to continue to navigate with focus on margin. And whatever is the resultant output in terms of volume, we would have to take that impact. Broadly, I think looking at the commentary from other players in the category, I doubt that we've lost any share in this category. We might even have gained. We'll get to know as more detailed results come out for all the different companies. Because as you saw in premium edible oils, our volumes are down about 12%. So we'll have to see how other people's results are and how they are performing to understand what has been the share performance. But at this point, I think it's reasonable to assume that our share is probably at least the same, and if not better, that we'll see later. As I said, you would have seen that A&P spends are broadly in line with prior year, so there's not much change there. And as we told you earlier, we will continue to invest this year behind the business. We need to continue to exit with very, very strong growth rates, right? And so we will continue to do that. We will not cut back any brand investments despite the inflation in input costs. However, given that we need to prioritize whatever spending we do behind the RTC category and peanut butter, these are the two we are continuing, and we are not increasing advertising spend on any other category in the near term. Once we see all the food business once again, back in terms of margin, the desired mix, everything else, then we can evaluate whether there's money in the P&L for us to support. But right now we are getting good growth even without any A&P in the others. And our quarter one SG&A was higher than prior year by 2 crores. This was largely due to travel and secondary freight, right? So there was very very low level of shipments of ready-to-eat snacks in FY22, quarter one. So there was a spike in secondary freight. And travel also, everybody's traveling a lot more. We need to travel now to be able to get the business. So the travel has increased. And this was offset partly by, you would have seen in the advertisement, that our employee benefit cost was actually a little lower than last year. So really, profit and profit before tax and profit after tax, just about keeping our head above water and coming in at this level of 24%. Okay, so if you can just go to the next page, which is the highlights by category, we can skip that page, and then just go to the page which says ready to cook snacks. So you can see here that we had a volume decline of 5% and a value decline of 4%. This is after about a 200 odd basis points of growth coming from pasta, from the non RTC popcorn part of the business. So on the RTC popcorn business, actually it would be higher. It would be about a 6% decline. So clearly there's the impact of the second wave. Going forward, we'll see how is this delta of normalcy going to help these growth rates, so that it also comes back into positive space. Basis whatever in-store data we have, and also basis data whatever we've collected from many of our modern trade customers who do share data with us, our estimate is that of the instant pasta market, we've already got about between 3 and 5% share. Right? That's excellent, and it shows the power of a differentiated product. Our product is absolutely super. It's well differentiated. We're not spending any advertising money, and we're gradually gaining share. So that's really good news, and it reflects really our capability to build and gain share in categories, which is more innovation driven as compared to writing out a big advertising check. The other learning that we had over the last 6 months after we entered the pasta market, is that while the pasta market itself is large, the instant pasta part of it, which is a 25 to 30 rupee pack, is much smaller, right? In fact, the pizza and pasta sauce market is more than twice that of the instant pasta market, between 2 and 2.5 times. So in other words, the packs that you see for for Maggi and Sunfeast, those packs 25, 30 rupees and Wakefield as well. If you combine the total revenue of that, the size of the pizza and pasta sauce market is much bigger. I think it's estimated at about 400 odd crores. So we have a great sauce in our pasta pack. So we are now rolling out and extending that out as a pizza and pasta sauce. So you will start to see that in the market in the next 4 to 6 weeks. That's excellent because there's nothing else required from us. The manufacturing lines are already underway. In fact, we've also done the close the automation of the line, which we had talked about, I think, probably 2 or 3 quarters ago. So that will give us additional legs to be able to drive up the total RTC index to where we'd like it to be. Last but not the least, I think we have a lab-scale plant feed extruder that's been installed. So it's a low capacity one because we need to crack it. We are working, so trials have commenced. So I think somebody had asked at the AGM, that time we had not installed it. Will you do it this year? I said, very possibly we will do it this year. But I think post the initial trials, it looks like there'll definitely be a launch of this year. Here our objective would be, and I think the person who summed it up the best on this was Suresh Narayan of Nestle, who said that for plant meats to succeed in India, they will have to be, I don't know what word was used, but I would use the word democratized. Right? It will have to address the mass market. Today, most of these plant meat offerings are very high. Some are 1,000 rupees, some are 390 rupees, some are 300 rupees. You don't build big businesses in India at those kind of price points, right? So our objective would be to come out clearly at a sub-100 price point. I'm not sure where it will land. Ideally, if it could do something like 50 rupees, 70 rupees, it would be good. So let's see. But that's kind of where our thinking is, right? And if we do that, then we'll probably be the first people to be able to make a very, very attractive entry or attractive entry point for consumers into plant meats. And as we all know, in India, that's very, very important, right? So we'll keep you posted. You may not hear too much from us because I just wanted you to know that trials are underway. But now, obviously, there's other work to be done in terms of development and so on and so forth. All right. So pretty much ready to cook. We see some softness in popcorn. We see doing very well in pasta, extension into pizza and pasta sauces, and hopefully by the end of the year, an entry into plant meats. All of which together should give us a decent growth rate as far as the category is concerned. Okay. In terms of ready-to-eat snacks, that's the next page. You can see here the volumes are up 65%, revenues up 79%. So this is a mirror image. It's a mirror image of the ready-to-cook business, right? Because, people were all at home in this period. So naturally, the volumes and the revenues are very high. But initially, I think we've got a lot of strength in the RT popcorn business. We are clearly at a national level in a very powerful position now. We've also had a clear improvement in gross margin. We've taken a lot of pricing in this category last year. We've done grammage reduction. We've taken the shock of that. And actually, it went through pretty well, I would say. And even things like packaging footprint changes, because, those cost money in terms of laminate, corrugated cartons, freight, all of those. So to try and get those to as low a level as possible. We continue to work on potato chips. This is going to be a long haul, as we told you. We don't want to be pushed into doing anything quickly on this. We'll learn because potato is a very tricky commodity and we need to manage it very tightly. So we are doing that. The manufacturer of our fan product has commenced in July 2022. You'll start to see it. In the next quarter, we'll also, you'll have the pack shot. So I'm sure you'll see it in the market before that. Rollout in quarter 2, FY23, and this will help to support margin improvement because it consumes less packaging material, less corrugated, less freight. So it's basically, more and a higher revenue per ton. So it performs well there. Work is underway on 14 snacks. This is still going to be a small business initially, but we'll keep, and as we told you, I think we would expect to launch this in FY23. And continued focus on the right combination of full truckloads. FTL stands for full truckloads with distance from the plant. Right? The longer the distance from the plant, the more attractive product mix that you need in terms of margin. The shorter the distance from the plant, the less attractive mix that you can make to in terms of margin. And this balancing is important because at the end of the day, this is the business, which is the conveyor belt of the company for us to keep driving distribution. Okay. So overall, very strong comeback, but driven a lot by COVID. So, you know, obviously these percentages will also moderate as we go forward, because the same delta normalcy that applies to RTC also applies to RTE, albeit in an inverse manner. Next page is on spreads and dips. You can see here a very return to very strong growth with pricing realignment in FY 2022, with a volume growth of 28% and a value growth of 10%. And every time I look at this chart, I'm reminded of it's an outstanding quote. There used to be a professor of MIT, Rudi Dornbusch. He was German professor. I think he's passed away some years ago. And the quote was, "In economics, things take much longer to happen than you think they will." Right? So you expect things to happen, right? And they invariably take more time to happen than you think they will. And that is true for our peanut butter business also. We realigned the pricing starting, you know, second half of last year. It took some time because of inventory in the trade, retailers are making choices, et cetera, et cetera. But in the last, I would say, six, 8 weeks, it is completely, you know, very, very powerful, strong growth. And the second part of Rudi Dornbusch's quotation is, so the first part is, "In economics, things take much longer to happen than you think they will. And when they happen much faster than you think they can." Right? So when they happen much faster than you think they can. And that's what's happening on peanut butter right now. I think we've come back very, very strongly, certainly completely back in the driver's seat. And our whole combination of value, advertising, product, is all doing exceedingly well. I would say, would definitely be gaining share right now from our competitors. We don't buy data, but I think that's where our head is. And they would include all manner and shape and form of competitors. It would range from Hindustan Unilever to private equity funded players, smaller players, anybody. We would be taking share from them right now. So very, very, very good comeback. And then, you know, we would now expect to see the gains coming from operating leverage as these volumes start to grow, so that, you know, we are able to offset the impact of the price reduction that we took in FY 2022, and then obviously drive forward. New high protein variant development is underway. We've talked about it. We wanted to launch this in quarter one, but we had to do some further refinement in terms of the protein content, and so this will happen in quarter two. I think probably in August itself it will happen. We've also initiated single-serve cups for all the spreads. So for example, you know, you must have seen these cups of Kinder Joy. They have these cups at about 20 rupees, right? So we would target a lower price point than that. And so this would help to drive trial. So we will launch these probably by quarter three. It's not going to be such a big driver of volume, but it will help us to acquire new consumers. Chocolate spreads generated sales, net sales of about 1 crore in the quarter. So price increases are also underway with support of peanut-based extension, and we will gradually grow this business, right? The name of the game really will be, we'll have to expand the category. So we're good at building categories, so we're going to continue to work on this. And we've also got a launch of salsa, which is scheduled in quarter two. We've launched the Hummus, but I think we don't have weight in the dips category, right? We need a certain minimum weight. So it's there, it sells through in some stores. It is very, you know, off and on. So we need to add, we need to, we will add salsa to add some weight to this category, and that will also happen in this quarter itself. So by next quarterly call, you'll actually see a slightly broader presence in dips. Okay. Then if I could request you to go to the next page, which is Vector Cereals. You can see here a growth of about 54% in volume and 58% in value. Some of this growth is similar to RTE snacks, not all of it. Some of it is driven by core distribution and display, but some are, and also a greater entry in the mainline Vector Cereals category, i.e., those box type of packs. But some of that is also due to the fact that a significant part of our consumption of cereal snacks, of snacks, of breakfast cereals, is as a cereal snack, meaning is a snack on the go, like a ready-to-eat snack. And that part obviously was down last year, so that one's base is also sort of a little low. So we'll see how this pans out during the quarter, during the year. But overall, I think we are progressing well. The growth is not as explosive as it is in chocolates, but it's there, and it will continue to grow, and we'll be building this business up to a level of, you know, as I've mentioned, 20-25 crores, where we think we can spend advertising money behind it. Which, let's see when that happens. The rollout of a hazelnut variant in Centerfield is underway. It's happening right now. And also scheduled for launch is a cookie and cream variant. Cookie and cream is gradually making inroads in India. That's really largely driven by Oreo. So, we have a, it's a very nice product that we have. And we will do a national launch of value-added oats, which is scheduled as per plan for quarter two. So this, remember what I mentioned, that this will not be plain oats. So the 5% GST oats will not be included here, but this will be the value-added oats, and we'll make an entry, a soft entry, and then we'll build it through. So on track for a profitable business in FY23. If I could request you to go to the next page, which is chocolates. So you can see here a volume growth of about 218%, pricing of about 252, because we did grammage reductions last year, we held the price of 10, 5 rupees comes at a higher price per kilo, etc., etc. So continued strong growth in the business, significant improvement margin as we gain scale, right? The installation of the second line has been delayed by approximately 6 weeks. So in fact, when some of our investors asked us this question, and I'll take this opportunity to answer that. But if you recall, I said that we would double the capacity in quarter one and then double it again in quarter three, right? So the first part, doubling before, also happened actually scheduled for June, but there were some component issues in Europe because of which it got delayed. But I think it'll get, we're expecting a receipt sometime in the first half of August. So we probably missed by maybe a couple of weeks, but not more than that, because anyway, before this is summer, and that's not a good time to actually scale up the category, right? And I won't be able to give you the capex as such on chocolate, other than to tell you that our expectation finally is a minimum of 2 tons, right? So somebody had asked the question, how much? So, you know, that's the minimum that we would expect as a company, more what we want. And we kind of work on that. And another question, I think it has been often asked on chocolates, and which I'll try and give you a decent answer to it. You know, what is the, how, you're talking about one line, two line, four line, what does this mean in terms of revenue? So right now we're looking at a revenue of about 15 to 20 crores. I don't know exactly, because, you know, it depends on which line we are running, what size we are running, all that. There are some variations. So you can assume somewhere between, you know, four lines should give us somewhere between 60 to 80 crores. I know that sounds like a broad range, but we'll understand this better as we have more experience on the lines. Okay, and the SKUs. Right. So I would say, that's pretty much some detail which was sought for by some investors on chocolates, and I hope that gives you the way. We will continue seeking very aggressive growth rate to achieve break-even in the category during FY23. We invested a lot of money this year, and I think very soon with scale, we'll get past break-even and then from then into profits. It will be a key revenue growth driver in FY23. If I could request you to go to staples then, on premium staples. Now, I've told you that this will include oats, but it doesn't really include much oats. It's a little bit of oats there, but not much in this year. So you can assume for practical purposes that these numbers relate right now to premium oils. So premium oils are therefore down about 12% and value was down about 8%. So you can see there was still pricing. But of course, last year's quarter one also had fairly inflated pricing on many of the species, right? And we will be rolling out oats in quarter two, right, to make these premium staples more broad-based and therefore reduce the risk from a single commodity business while providing procurement scale to the food business. So we explained this to you. We do need more scale in many of the categories, and this scale we can get only by actually buying larger volumes, which we will put under the premium staples. So premium staples will gradually house many more commodities other than oils. They'll still have the potential in our view to deliver a 15 to 20% margin, certainly we don't expect them to ever deliver a 30% gross margin, which is the minimum expectation that we have for food. And mostly they will be single commodities, right? So if something is processed where we add value, we'll keep it under foods, we'll put it under foods. But if something is a single commodity which really needs just a packing operation, that will certainly go into staples. Alright, and mass staples lifted largely the exit from crystal in FY22. Okay, so comparative update, if you can just go to the page on snacks, you can see we spent pretty much more or less in line with last year, just a tad lower probably, but very little bit. And big spending by Frito-Lay, that's a big change there. And other players also spending. You can see here DFM food spending, fast snacks spending, and even two of spending a significant amount of money. If I could request you to go to this chart on spreads, you can see here, the Hindustan Lever continues investment in China. We spent about 11 crores, was 11 crores last year. Our estimate is that they will spend at least 2 years. We had mentioned this to you when they launched. So I would say this will probably go on in quarter three. At this point in time, they'll do a review of the business and they'll decide, our guess is on whether they would like to continue or not. right? And but I think you can, you know, you can go into the stores and see their stock and see the amount of stock, the manufacturing date, and the amount on discount. So you get a good idea of how successful it is. We spent pretty much broadly in line with prior year. And other than that, nothing really of significance. Except Patanjali spent a lot of money on honey. So that is, you know, that is that's a fairly substantial sum that I can see there as a, so that's kind of standing out in the whole chart. Okay. Breakfast cereals, Kellogg's continues to support for broadly across the board. Nestle appears to have discontinued support really, because, you know, you can see for a large number of quarters now, last year and this year, absolutely zero spend. And Tata Soulful has increased its investment. So we'll have to see now how their offtake pans out vis-a-vis the stock that they put into the trade and, you know, the media investment that they have. That we'll figure, we'll understand from the rating of the stock, how many offers they have on the stock. So that will give us a good picture. In terms of chocolates, Mondelez remains the dominant spender in the category. But you will notice that ITC has also started spending quite significantly now, steadily. And now this time it is not so much behind Fadel, but it's more their Candyman chocolate, which is priced at a lower price point. And that makes sense. So we expect them also to be reasonable competitors going forward in this space. Of course, we have very, very differentiated products. So, you know, our growth rates are going to be very, very good. All right. Next page on edible oil, you can see that, you know, we had obviously stopped, you know, we've not been spending any money since FY18, but you can see now even the second, what we defined under premium oil, which is a whole lot, also the spending coming up, right? So the premium oil share of spending is certainly, you know, dipped in quarter one, and I suspect this is going to be, this is going to continue, and mass oils are really going to dominate this space, which is something that we always told you very, very consistently. And that expectation is coming through and panning out. So, you know, at this stage, it all seems to reflect everything that we told you, right, on declining spends, right? You can see category, premium oil spends going down from 54 crores in FY19, 53 in FY20, 40 crores in FY21, 38 crores in FY22, and now 6 crores in the first quarter of this year. So the trend line is very visible, right? And that's the reality, because at the end of the day, it's an undifferentiated category and, you know, with limited pricing modes. Okay. I'm going to, there are a lot of other categories like noodles, but, you know, I'm not going to spend too much time. You can see Nestle and ITC remain dominant spenders. We'll just go to the next page. Go to pasta, not much spending there. I suspect most of the players are spending their money on the noodle war, if you will. Soups continues to, Knorr continues to be the dominant spender. That's the next page. And therefore, in summary, the last page of the presentation, I think steady growth in food driven by non-RTC growth of 41%. Let's see how this normalcy data works out in terms of in-home, out-of-home. And as that improves, obviously for us, the, you know, the overall rates will go up and also the margin improvement will be there, because popcorn is naturally our longest standing product, and therefore from a profitability standpoint has a disproportionate impact on margin. Oil margin at 15 crores for the quarter is below the quarter year running rate, right? Last year would have been average, I think, for the year came to be about 18. If I take, you know, 70 crores, it'll come to, you know, 17 point something. So it's a little lower than the rate, right? So we'll see how the next quarter pans out. Okay. But overall, you know, I would say in reasonable shape, particularly given the spike that we saw. The power of a diversified portfolio is visible now. You see, during COVID, we had both RT and RTC. RTE dropped, RTC went up. Post-COVID, RTC has dropped, RTE has gone up. So this diversity of portfolio, I think, is very, very important for us to be a, you know, really great foods company. All right? And I think, you know, that's certainly playing out. And I think this redefinition of premium oils into premium staples is also going to give us significant benefit, because once we start looking at it through lenses, we'll be able to engage in a lot of categories where there's just simple, the stuff is already coming into our factory, there's simple packaging to be done, and, you know, out you go, our distributors make enough money, our factories get stale, our overhead comes down, so it's a nice balance. So long as we don't lie to ourselves and pretend that something which is a premium staple is a food. That, so long as we don't do that, I think we are in very good shape, and hopefully we'll not do that. And I would say in good shape to deliver a solid performance in FY23 despite commodity headwinds. So I think we are done with the presentation. We still have about 25 minutes or about half an hour for questions. So there was only one other question which somebody sent us, one of our shareholders has sent, which is that, you know, we've got now three members from Conagra on the board as compared to two which we've had historically and for some time even one. Does it signify any change in Conagra's intent as far as the country is concerned? My answer is no. You see, Conagra remains a very North American focused company, and they will continue to be there for at least, you know, right now. Things may change in the future, but as of now, I would not read anything into Conagra having one, two, or three members on the board. It makes, honestly, there's no linkages to be drawn from that, okay? And our job is to continue to do well, to build a great foods company, and certainly we are doing that. Okay. So, ma'am, Michelle, over to you, and we can start the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vishal Gutka from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Dean. Hi, sir. Vishal here. Sir, there are two questions. First is on premium edible oil. We have seen, I think, 12% volume decline this time. I wanted to understand when a consumer downgrades to a cheaper brand due to high inflation or high edible prices, how is your how difficult to bring him back to the original brand? Second question is on peanut butter. I think there's a big divergence between volume and value growth. I think it might have happened due to price correction that you have taken across the board. So is it anyway impacting margins in a meaningful manner, or and your views and thoughts on the 10 rupee SKU you are planning to run for peanut butter? What is the game plan out over there? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, Vishal, I didn't get the last part on the 10 rupees SP. So, can you just...
Yeah, if you can give any color, what is the game plan that you're planning to do 10 rupee SKU for that? Will it be more on the profitability side as well as what do you call, what is the law? Because you're trying to increase the market size for what do you call peanut butter. So what is the game plan? There is a single serve pack. So, if you can give more color on the 10 rupee SKU.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Vishal. So, see, on the premium edible oils, I would say the answer lies in what the performance you saw last year. So if you look at it, we were actually having a volume decline for several years, right? On premium edible oil, because our margins, we were way higher, right? We were 45-50% of the market for premium to the market. And then the moment we did the price we strained the turn around, right? So consumers will come. See, we have a very strong brand equity, right? And the only thing is the consumer willing to pay that price or not? That's all. Left to themselves, consumers would always be willing to, would rather buy Sunrock, right? But it's a function of how affordable it is. So no, we don't see any issues of, you know, if a consumer downgrades, will they come back, not come back? They'll definitely come back. Consumers will also reduce their consumption. You know, these are also things that happen. So, no worry at all on that score. Okay? In terms of peanut butter, what is our game plan? No, definitely, see, when we take a price correction like that, it has an immediate impact on margin. But obviously, our calculation and our math is that because we have our own plant, so we have operating leverage, unlike the other people who all buy from smaller players, and there are lots of small players, but then they are not going to get the advantage of a better price because they give more volume because the smaller player is servicing multiple people. So he's already giving whatever best price he can. That only we can get as the largest peanut butter manufacturer for the local market in India. Right? And therefore, that was our match last year. You go through our call, you see that we've told you, we think, you know, it's going to have an impact on margin. It had an impact on margin. But our match is that as we get back to volume and get back into very good volume growth, we'll offset that initially. So, to answer your second question, yes, value is lagging volume because of the price realignment that we did in the back half of last year. You will continue to see value lagging volume through for the next two quarters. It'll happen in quarter two, it'll happen in quarter three. We decided to do the price corrections in quarter three, so by quarter four, this gap should start, you know, should start to come down on a cumulative basis, right? And on margin, we would expect it's a function of volume, and we will also have to see exactly how it plays out. But our expectation is, first stage, we'll recover the margin that we gave away by way of pricing, and then obviously the margin will just grow. And when it grows like that, it will grow exponentially because you are now corrected, you're operating at a very, very competitive price, and which nobody can actually match. You can check us out. You can check us out and go online. There's nobody who's even close to it. Not only forget anybody close to it, go into the internet and check. Do, you know, peanut butter, big basket or something. And you'll find most of the major consumers are only supporting Sundrop. You know, when they put the display ads, you can make out. All the major consumers, they're 100% supporting Sundrop. So we are very, very strong. I think it's over. So that's why that quotation from Rudy Thunberg was so appropriate, I felt. Okay, it's appropriate in many circumstances, but in this peanut butter one, definitely it's appropriate. Okay, thank you, Vishal.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Porinju Veliyat from Equity Intelligence India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, Mr. Sachin.
Hi.
I am Porinju here, Porinju Veliyat from Equity Intelligence.
Yes.
Sorry that I have no words of appreciation for you or the management. You know, I have been holding this talk for a long time. In fact, you know, I used to be really surprised, you know, operating in a country with such huge high economic growth and huge opportunities. You know, a company, you know, what is it today? You know, when my local bakeries in my village make more money than me? And you joined something like 15 years ago, if I remember correctly. And that time the company had a higher revenue and something like a similar profit today. Of course, I understand that shift from the commodity to the FMCG food business, but it has not gone anywhere. It's a penny kind of a business today after this 15 years of working. I feel you should make a very serious retrospection. You know, I heard your very long speech. It was basically a repeat of every year, every quarter, what you talk, you know, use the words like we are on track, overall company position well, you know, operational leverage. All these are just to keep investors waiting. Companies making just enough profit for your salary. Shareholders are just, you know, totally, I don't know, this is very, very funny thing. You should introspect very strongly. I would say you should take initiative for some smart CEO with execution capability to take charge and run this company and create wealth for the shareholders rather than just talking and talking. This is not a 1 year, 5 year or 10 years. I'm talking about 15 years. The you know, the patience of shareholders are, you know, it's too much being tested. So please do something, Mr. Sachin. And it's very pathetic the way this company has been managed in the last 15 years. I'm sorry for this kind of outburst, but you know, that's what is coming to my mind.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Vilayat. I think there's no really questions there, so we'll absorb the feedback. Huh? Thank you for your input. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we can go to the next question. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Uttam Purohit from Perfect Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, so my first question is, could you please tell the revenue breakup of branded food business?
Purohit, I'm sorry to interrupt. I would request you to use your handset. Your voice is fumbling. We cannot understand.
Yeah. Is it clear?
Yes. Please proceed.
Yeah, could you please share the revenue breakup of branded food business named? Spreads and dips, cereals, chocolate.
Mr. Purohit, your voice is breaking. We couldn't hear anything, sir.
Yeah, sorry. Now it will be clear. Sorry.
Please proceed.
Yeah, could you please share the revenue breakup of branded food business, namely ready to cook, ready to eat, spreads and dips, cereals, and chocolate and confectionery? And we guided 20 to 25% growth for food businesses. The guidance is still same. And what is our current capacity utilization segment-wise and any plan for CAPEX this year?
Okay. Anything else, Uttam?
Yes.
No.
Yes, sir.
Anything else? These are the three questions.
Yeah. No, sir. That's it.
Purohit, if you have any follow-up question, you can ask it right away.
No.
Oh, okay, Michelle. No worries. No, Michelle, no worries. We'll take the questions as it is, huh? Okay. So, Uttam, yes, very much so. I think that's why we said earlier, we said, you know, in quarter one, you definitely see the impact of the elevated consumption of RTC popcorn in our base. And as I said, the delta of normalcy will change as we progress through the year. So, no, we definitely, you know, feel that we are on track to be able to deliver a growth in that range. Okay? In terms of capacity utilization, I think, you know, it obviously varies across categories. And but probably we would be in the, let's say, you know, if you're looking at this level, probably maybe 50% to 60% kind of range in aggregate. Okay? All right? That would be the broad range, huh? All right? But it will vary across categories so that, you know, we do need to continue spending on CapEx, especially on the ones which are fast-growing. For example, right now we're spending on chocolate confectionery, right? Okay? And last on CapEx, I think this question was raised in the last analyst call, or possibly it was in the AGM. So I've given a figure that this year we expect to spend somewhere in the region of about 40 to 45 crores on CapEx, right? But it'll be phased through during the year and spread out so that, you know, we can also optimize it from a cash flow perspective. Okay? All right. Thank you, Michelle. Uttam, thank you. I hope that answered your questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Cheers, bye.
The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead. Sir Pardeshi, I have unmuted your line. You can ask your question.
I think, ma'am, maybe we can take it later.
As we have lost the line of Mr. Pardeshi, we'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Dhwanil Desai. I'm sorry, Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin. Good afternoon. So, Sachin, my first question is, you know, if I look at our food numbers since last four quarters, we did around 110 crore in Q2 FY22, then 108, then 100, and I think this quarter we did around 94-95 crore. So quarter on quarter, the food numbers have been coming down. So, and we did around 400 crore top line on food last year. So even if I assume or I were to think that we will grow at 15%, to catch up, we have to do 120-125 crore kind of a quarterly run rate. So first of all, are we targeting 15% growth for this year given the base of last year? And if so, what will drive this kind of a performance considering that last three, four quarters on a sequential basis, the food business has been declining? So that's my first question. Second question is, you know, if I go back in time and look at last three, 4 years, some of the products where we were very, very confident and bullish, including chocolate spread, Pantofilm, cereals, they've actually, you know, remained subscale. I mean, even today, chocolate spread is around 1 crore per quarter, so hardly a 4 crore number, while we are saying that we have all the ingredients of a great product, we have great pricing. So what are the challenges in scaling up some of these products? Is it the distribution reach? Is it the competitive intensity? What are the things where we have not been able to take it to, you know, critical scale level? And so that is my second question. And third question on chocolate, you said that, you know, total capacity that we will put up by end of this year or by Q3 will generate revenue of around 60-80 crore. So do we think that we should be able to utilize these lines optimally by end of next year? You know, what is the game plan?
Okay. Thank you, Dhwanil. All very good questions. So let's take them one by one. See, in the food business, definitely there is a seasonality. Okay. So don't look at it on a sequential basis. Look at everything on a year-to-year basis. That's how we also do our budgeting, right? So we work on a quarterly growth basis, and then we have to assess, are we on track? What are the risks that we see? So on and so forth. Okay. So we'll do that for quarter one. We'll do that for quarter two. Right. Quarter two and quarter three are always the highest quarters. Right. And there's a very simple reason for that. Quarter two is the advent of the monsoons. It's the end of summer. The weather starts to get better. People consume more snacks. All of that. Right. In fact, they're frying for oil also. So quarter two and quarter three are always the peak. So go through the graphs of different years, and the data is there in the investor highlights for as many years as we've been providing it, and you will find that trend to be true, right? That is why the key thing is the growth number. Even internally, when we look at it and we look at our sales organization, everything is driven by index, right? It's what's your index? Is my index 110? Is it 115? Is it 120? Is it 130? Right? That's how you look at it. If you look at it like that, then you'll have a fair assessment of how the business is doing, not by looking at it on a sequential basis, right? Okay. Is the 11% lower than the 20%? Of course it is. I mean, that's a given, right? And there's a reason for that. There's an elevated base in the consumption, and that normalcy delta we expect to even out as the year goes by. How much? Honestly, we don't have the data to be able to enter that precisely, but it seems common sense. All right. On your point on distribution or products being subscale, of course that's true. Whenever, look, we have said as a company that about half our growth is driven by advertising and half is driven by innovation, right? So, willy-nilly, the part that is driven by innovation will for some time remain subscale. It is going to, by definition. We are not going to get scale in a year, right? And that is one of the reasons why we've talked about premium staples, so that at least at a procurement level, we start to procure in large enough quantities such that our P&L for the food part of the business is not suffering because we don't have scale, right? Now, what have we defined as subscale? We have defined subscale as categories where we have not yet reached 20 crores of annualized sales, right? So, is breakfast cereals in the category? Is 100% yes. Is chocolate spread in that camp? 100% yes, right? No doubt about it. But each of these will build up over time. For example, when we launched peanut butter, our first year sales were only 5 crores. Right? And that is after we had been importing it for a while. Right? So it takes time. In the food business, it takes time. The beautiful part is that once you've got the consumers and they're locked into your product, they're yours for life, pretty much. Okay? Pretty much. And you know, that's how it works. So the answer is yes. Many of our products are subscale. That is why we're not making money on them. But as we build them up, they will start to make money. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We built up the RTC popcorn business. We built the peanut butter category. So you will see. And yeah. And at any point in time, there are going to be some products which are subscale, because as we become a bigger and bigger company, become 1,000 crores, 2,000 crores, you're going to need other products which are at that point in time subscale, but which you can make scalable, right? So you need this, otherwise you will not be able to sustain growth rates of 20-25%. So that's kind of our planning. You will see more product additions during the year. And these are not to drive this year's growth, but these are that we don't end up suddenly when we are 1,500-2,000 crore food business, and we say, oh, by the way, now we have no growth ideas. We should have done this exercise 5 years ago. Then that's precisely why we are doing that 5 years ago. That 5 years ago piece is being done now. All right? And in terms of, so there's no challenge on distribution. Distribution, we have the capability. We've got a coverage of, you know, little under 450,000 stores. There's no problem. But distribution is only one part of it. You've got to be able to reach out to consumers. You reach out to consumers either through direct trial, like we have done on popcorn and built up the category, and we are doing on pasta, and we need to acquire new consumers on spreads. But you know, the price, in terms of immediate size of price, doing very well on pasta, reasonably large category. We're putting priority there, but we also do some demos on breakfast cereals and some demos on chocolate spreads. Okay? But it's about getting consumers in the absence of advertising spending. As and when they get advertised, then they will move into a different gear. So look at it from that journey perspective. Seeing on this chocolate, what is the question? Chocolate? Parag, can you just repeat your question on chocolate, the last part that you read?
Yeah. Hmm? If I said that, we said that with the Q3, I mean, doubling of capacity this quarter and then again doubling.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's correct. Thanks. I apologize for that. So in terms of no, 100%, this won't be enough to meet our requirements for next year. I've always said that chocolates will be a significant part of our growth story. And we have brought innovation into the 5 rupee category, which hasn't been there in the chocolate category maybe for the last 10, 15 years. Right? For example, if you look at the 5 rupee chocolate category, most of the last launch products were things like, Perk, or Munch by Nestle, Cadbury Perk. There has been no real innovation. We have brought innovation into that category at 5 rupees in a profitable manner, right? So this is going to be a big, big, big part of our growth story because chocolate industry is about 15,000 crores, right? And we intend to, we intend to fully leverage it build it. So no, this whatever capacity that we are working on right now, this is certainly not the end game. We would need additional capacities, in fact, to be able to meet our growth ambitions for next year. Okay. All right, Michelle. Thank you, Parag, for the questions. All good questions. And Michelle, may I?
Thank you. Yeah? The next question is from the line of Manish Gupta from Solidarity. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sachin, I have four questions, so I'll give all four of them to you. The first one is that in peanut butter or spreads, when lots of competitors have entered, can you share whether they have expanded the market or this has resulted in us losing gross margin in order to maintain our share? My second question is that, like chocolate spreads is 1 crore a quarter, but obviously a lot of headroom for growth. So any category we enter, how do you think about what minimum scale it can be in 3 or 5 years before you think it's worthwhile for us to, spend time on that category? So, for example, what would your hypothesis be today of how big chocolate spreads could be, say, 5 years out? My third question is, Sachin, that, there's lots of innovation we are doing. But are we also creating a lot more complexity in our portfolio and a lot of subscale categories? So when you say that the size of the prize in chocolates is so large, 15,000 crore category, we are bringing innovation in, how do you think about, your time and the time of your team that should we be deeper in a few categories rather than, innovate a lot in there is pasta, there is pasta sauce, there is chocolates, lots of other stuff we are innovating. And my last question is that, in the premium staples where our gross margin target is, say, 70 crore plus minus, do you see a risk that the aggregate gross margin in that category can completely collapse if, pricing stays and consumers start to downtrade? So these are the four questions, Sachin. Thank you.
Thank you, Manish. I think all good questions. So on the first part, which is peanut butter, I think, yes, we saw a lot of competitors. Now we are seeing a gradual reduction in the competitors, okay? So typically, let's say a year ago, you would see as many as 6 brands of peanut butter in a store. Today, it's down to 3, right? So, and it's down to 3 for 2 reasons. One is, in the advertised competitors, you may find one in one store, but you won't find them in the other store. That would be true for something like, say, Kisan peanut butter, right? It will be there sometimes, it may not be there sometimes. But equally, some of the smaller people, right, who are leveraging the availability of local manufacturers, they have come under a lot of pressure. They've come under a lot of pressure, right? And it is visible now in the volume growth that we have, right? This 28% and how we are growing right now. So I would say that's in terms of competitive outlook. In terms of impact on did they expand the market? The answer is no. I think we showed this to you a couple of quarters ago, where we showed that, Hindustan Lever had spent about 40 to 50 crores, and Euromonitor was showing actually that the market had, the growth rate of the market had come down. In fact, it was almost like, right? So our answer to you is that it doesn't work like that in the food business, right? There is an adoption rate. It is a slow adoption rate, and that is why a lot of food companies are simply unsuccessful at innovation. They are unsuccessful at innovation, right? Particularly where categories have to be built up. You need to do a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of patience for that, right? So the answer is no. Spending or having more competitors doesn't expand the market, right? What does expand the market are triggers of unmet consumer needs. So, for example, if more people are going to the gyms and they are wanting a particular type of peanut butter without sugar, without salt, yes, or they want their larger consumers and they are looking for value in that, all of those will be triggers which will be impacting the market. Okay. From our standpoint, on the margin piece, I think we told you last year, and I just mentioned it again, so I'll repeat it, is that yes, our expectation was naturally that if you do a price realignment, it has some impact on margin. But our expectation is that with the volume growth and the operating leverage that we'll get, we'll first offset that and then we'll start to grow the margin. Okay. So that's the first thing. In terms of the scale, I think the answer lies in the same 20-odd crores that we've told you. We will continue to be working and experimenting in a large number of categories and products, and some of them will reach, some of them will reach that level of 20 crores faster, some will reach sooner, later, right? But it doesn't matter, and we won't be able to tell you exactly which one is going to, at the time that we launch, is going to is going to reach 20 crores pretty fast, right? Right now it looks like out of all the other categories, of course, ready-to-eat popcorn is much, much more than that now. But let's say in the new categories, chocolate confectionery looks like it's all set to, you know, just well breeze past that 24 mark. So a lot of it is actually having to put the product into the market, but there will be products, and this is required. And this comes to the third point, because we discussed actually this in the, coincidentally, we discussed it in the board yesterday, which is how much is too less and how much is too much. And the answer is, that's a call that, you know, we have to take as management, seeing how much complexity is there in adding an SKU. So, for example, let's take your example of a pasta sauce. If you're going to set up new machinery for making pasta sauce, then the question is, hey, wait a minute, you know, why are you jumping to the next thing? But if the question is, I already have the machinery and I already have the product, and all we need to do is say, okay, now we'll just, you know, capture a slice of this market, then that's very, very, it would be silly not to do it, right? So these are choices that we have to make. It also necessitates, these choices also necessitate, that at times we exit products. So we do exit products. Then we, you know, things that we exited green peas, but some peanuts which are in the process of exiting. So there will be products which don't do so well, and there are products which will do very well instantaneously, and some which will grow in time. Okay? I hope that answers that question. And on 70 crores plus minus, yeah, the answer is, you know, no way. No way. You know, when Russia invaded Ukraine, we got a lot of people who say, you know, what's happening? You know, Russia's invaded Ukraine, and, you know, sunflower oil is going to go through the roof. There won't be availability of oil, right? Prices. So, you know, is the bottom going to fall from your edible oils portfolio, right? The numbers are clear, right? They're in front of you. We put them in the presentation. The bottom hasn't fallen out of the portfolio. So these are good businesses, but they are not the future. They are not the future of our company. That is why we never promised you growth in edible oils and said, you know, this business will grow at 7 to 8%. No, right? We know the role of this portfolio is to make a certain amount of money as far as our P&L is concerned. When we started our journey of transformation and invested behind foods, edible oils is making about 60 odd crores. Today also it is making 70 odd crores, 60 to 70 crores. So it's making that much amount of money. So no, we are not worried at all about that. Okay? All right. Michelle, thank you. I think, do we have more questions, or what should we do, Ajay? I mean, should we extend, or? We can extend by another 5-10 minutes if you guys want.
Yeah, so like we have one question from Suresh, if you can just take, because he hadn't been able to ask earlier.
Sorry, who is this?
Suresh. So one question from Suresh. He had been there on the queue, but he couldn't ask the question.
Okay. So we'll take the question from you. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Good.
Next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Sachin. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope you are doing well.
All good. All good. Go ahead, Shirish.
So I have four burning questions. The first is top of my mind, why the income tax rate has gone up? And I'm seeing this tax rate is going up last two quarters. So that's one. On the distribution front, can you say some qualitative remarks that are you now trying to do the split distribution, because the product lines what you're operating is completely different in terms of the target market. So if you can give some qualitative aspect where we are standing today and what are the things which you are driving on distribution. Third, on the new product, if you can split saying that the products what we have launched in last 1 year, what kind of revenue we have generated in terms of either percentage or maybe absolute number? And fourth is, if you can break 186 crore, the revenue what we have delivered in this quarter, what is the split between oil versus non-oil?
Okay, thank you. Thank so, Sirish, we'll start with the last one. For four burning questions. So, the last one is, we've already indicated that our revenue from foods are about 94 crores. Yeah, that's in the investor highlights. So you can just do the maths and, you know, it will approximately be the same. Okay? Right? In terms of new product revenues, they account. It will be in good double-digit figures will be the income that revenue share that we get from products that we've launched, let's say, in the last 3 years. Right? And I would say this will also continue to grow. It is required to grow because innovation will have to deliver a fairly significant part of our growth, right? So if you take a year like this, where obviously there is a base of RTC popcorn, it's not going to change. We do need to get that much more growth from the other part of the business to be able to get to where we want to be. Okay. In terms of distribution front, see, this is a questionly debate, okay, and it's an internal debate in the FMCG business, which is, you know, should we split the field force? Splitting the field force has a lot of consequences, right? It has the consequences in terms of cost, not only in terms of the salesman and whatever subsidies you have to give to distributors, but as well largely the supervision cost of the entire structure, right? So it's complex. You increase supervision, you increase complexity, you increase the amount of reports that come in, and it adds a very, very high level of cost to the organization. So what companies do and what we do is that we tend to say, okay, we need to increase range, right? Somebody has to increase range in the store, right? So there are many options for increasing range. It is not that I need to split and have more people, because that's a permanent line item in the SG&A, right? Now you could say, you know, for a year you can do it. Yeah, but I can do it for a year. Next year there'll be something else to be done, right? So it will never be I do it for 1 year and I end and bring it back. So the tool that we have used mostly in our company is that we have days in the month, right, where we work with ready stock and we work the market with ready stock and we carry the entire range of the items that we want to add in that day in ready stock, right? So for example, if there is a store where we want to sell, let's say, 30 lines into that store, then whatever are the new lines that we want to add, we'll carry them in the ready stock unit because we won't be able to carry the entire range because the ready stock unit will generally be an auto. And the balance items will get next day delivered as a separate delivery. So what this happens is, this enables you to concentrate on that day on increasing range. Once you increase the range, and in the retail store you increase the range once, then after that the distributor salesman will automatically be able to get the replenishment. Okay, so this is one amongst many things, right? There are other things that we do to be able to support the increase in distribution, because we are not a high A&P company, right? So we need to have these levers in place to be able to get the distribution of the new product. And is that a challenge today? Of course it is. Was it a challenge 30 years ago? It was. And will it be a challenge 30 years later? It will be the same challenge, right? But splitting the sales force is honestly a very, very expensive option. Okay? Right? All right. And on the income tax rate, I think Shinu just wants to tell you something. Yeah.
It's because of the lower end profit and the disallowance of the expenditure is fixed. Okay. That is the reason, okay, the percentage which looks a little bit higher than this thing. Okay. Once the profits are going to up, then again this fixed expenditure and the percentage of the income tax will be going down.
Oh. Yeah. Thanks, Shinu.
Thanks.
Okay, so thank you, Shirish. Hopefully, we answered your questions effectively. Ma'am, Ajay, is that it then? Yeah, we want to come.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.